Thank you for joining us today at Denton Christian Church, where we exist for one reason, to help make you a disciple of Jesus Christ. If you'd like any more information about us, please check us out online at dentonchristianchurch.com. We join Preacher Billy Johnson today as he preaches from God's Word.
Whether you would think of it as a blessing or a curse, I remember the day that I got to find out the first person in the world that would be called my child, right? It was April 18th, long time ago. Was it 2005? 11 years ago, my little Victoria was born, and we met her, and she was beautiful, and everyone said things like, "She looks so much like her dad," and I went, "Rock on." I've since then, every time we get the whole, "All your kids look like you," I say, that's because all my kids get their good looks from me. My wife kept all of hers, you know. So, you know, we just said we have a good time with it. But, you know, Victoria was awesome. She came after a week of labor. Let me say that again. A week, right, honey? 7 days of labor. It was what they call prodromal labor. And she was born, and I was still a full-time student at the time, and we were there loving on her, and I had to be in class the next day, and I'd already missed too many classes that semester. I couldn't miss any more. This is something she would not want you to know about. She was the stinkiest newborn ever. She could clear the room just like that. It was bad news, but there was something there. Miss Elaine, you've experienced this with children and grandchildren as well, but there's just something there when that person's going to call you dad. And that person's going to call you, I don't know, I haven't been to grandpa yet, but I'm looking forward to it. You know, and not too soon, just to be clear. But there's just something about that parent and child relationship. And that's why when it's used in Scripture, it moves beyond all of the technical relationships we have with God, and it moves into just a very familial, a very emotional, a very just connected type relationship. If you have missed out, we are going through the book of John. We are kind of exploring right now that first passage in the book of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. We described it a couple weeks ago as this driveway leading to this great mansion. And you learn a lot about what kind of house you're coming to just by the driveway you're on. And we're seeing this just magnificent ideas and these magnificent themes all throughout the beginning of this, Gospel of John. And one idea we see here, I was about to tell Matt to put it up here on the screen. I believe that Jesus saves, but apparently I don't, because we had a power flash right before church started, and we lost our whole presentation for this morning with our Bible verses. So we're going to have to be old-fashioned today, guys, okay? So open up your Bibles, or if you're not old-fashioned and you're looking at your Bible on your phone, I get that too. Do that. We're going to start today in John chapter 1, but then we're going to move on from there. There's a little outline in your bulletin if you want to follow along there a little bit too. That's entirely up to you. Remember, John begins describing the Word, Logos, the Word that came from God, but the Word that was with God and the Word that was God. It's that withness and sameness all put together. It's perhaps the most adequate and still not completely adequate description of what the Trinity is that we've ever had. But we've got this Word, and He came into this world. We get that picture specifically in verse 14. This is the Word became flesh, made His dwelling among us. We've seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We see this Word is also light and life, and that light shines in the darkness. And this Word came to those who were His own, but His own did not receive Him. Now, this is where we come to this. Verse 12 of chapter 1 in John. He says, "Yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in his name, the ones who received the word in flesh, that's Jesus the Christ, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right, we're going to come back to that word right because it's important, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor of a husband's will, but born of God. This is not children stemming from biology or sexuality. These are children that are stemming from deity. Children that are born of God. Children of God. He becomes Father, we become children. I want you to know, you've heard that language before, right? I know it. All of a sudden, it's very common. Even those who are not necessarily people of faith, even those who are outside of Christ, they've uttered the phrase, perhaps you've heard this, we're all children of God, right? Have you heard that phrase before? Like, children of God is something common. But I want you to know, this is yet another moment. If we could look with the eyes of the first century for like 30 seconds here, you would realize how radically different this phrase was than anything that came before. The idea of individuals being God's children is a foreign idea in the Old Testament. You were God's people, for sure. You were subjects to the king, absolutely. You were part of his kingdom of Israel, for sure. You were even chosen and special. But to have a father and child relationship is something brand new that we have beginning here. And it's beautiful. It's amazing. And he gave us the right, those who believed in his name, he gave us the right to become children of God. Now that right is a really cool word. If you go and check out original languages and all of that stuff, the Greek word there is exousia. It's a right or a power or an authority. You are empowered to become his children. And we're going to find out a little bit later when we go to a couple of different passages that we receive the power to become God's children through the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. And he empowers us to become the children of God. Now, I think this is really cool. You need to hear this because this is going to be the controversial thing I say this morning, and then we're going to talk about everything else. I want you to hear this loud and clear. In this definition of the word, not every single human being is a child of God. Now, with that said, hear me out for just a second. Every single human being was created in the image of God. Every single human being needs the presence of God, the power of God, the work of God in their life. But only those who believe in his name receive the right to become the children of God. And that's what he says here. So the question that I struggle with and I wrestle with that I wanted to explore this week as I was studying and preparing to talk to you is, what in the world does a child of God look like? Right? If everyone would say, when they look at a mother or father and look at their child next to them, they say, oh, looks just like you. What does a child of God look like? Well, we could, of course, just keep it basic. It looks just like Dad. It looks like our Heavenly Father. But John actually, I don't know. I'm using my sanctified imaginator for just a minute here. John actually, in his writings, he brings up this idea of the children of God. And then in his next book that he writes, it's the book of 1 John, he makes all sorts of statements and ideas about what it means to be a child of God. Almost like some preacher came along and said, hey, John, you wrote about being children of God in your gospel, you know. Could you write a little more about that? Tell us a little more about what that looks like. I don't know if that actually happened or not, but I wish it did. It would have been cool. And we see some things from the book of 1 John. Now, I'm going to ask you to flip to the book of 1 John because we are low-tech this morning as far as the sermon goes. It's almost near the end of your Bible, okay? It's 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation, which is the last book of the Bible. So it's almost at the end of your Bible. It's a very short book. In fact, who wants some homework, right? School's out, summertime. Here's your homework for the week. Read the book of 1 John. It's like 5 chapters long. It's very short. It's like 3 pages in your Bible. Check out 1 John. It's really amazing. What we're going to do is we're going to see a little bit from the book of 1 John what a child of God looks like. And I want you to see two things. It's in your bulletin. You got a nice little outline. We're going to go through it quick. We're going to have a short sermon today, probably. I might get long-winded at one point here. And we'll go from there. All right, children of God. First thing we know is they're known by their actions. We've said this all the time, right? Let me just take a quick poll here. How many parents do we have in the room? How many parents? I just want to say. Okay, so when I talk to parents here, most of you understand what I'm talking about. And some of you, just listen anyways, you'll understand someday, okay? If you ever decide to become a parent. But here's what happens, right? When my children are bad, right? Whose child are they? They're my wife's, of course. They get an attitude. They say something mean. She's in the room today. When they're bad, they're my children. Okay. When they're good, they're her children. But we've said these things before, right? You said this before, right? Has your husband or wife ever said to you, "Do you know what your son did today?" Right? Do you know what your daughter said today? And that's this. We got this ownership because there's a little bit, we know this to be true, we don't always want to recognize it, but our children act like us, right? There were words that I used to say that sound really bad coming out of the mouth of a two-year-old. They're not terrible words, but if you ever heard a two-year-old say, "What the crap?" It sounds bad, right? All of a sudden you're like, "Oh man, I got to stop saying those words, you know, I got to stop doing this." Or you ever just like, "Oh my goodness," you know, just like I have that little blow up thing. Like when something happens, I just like, "Oh my," you know, just on the, and then to see a little 3-year-old, you know, just go wig out on something, you know, it's nuts. But here's what happens. It's just like that when we start to talk about being children of God. Children of God are known by their actions. There are things that are present in our life that show that we have been born of God, that show that we are His children living in relationship and in closeness with Him. Some things change in our lives, and we become His children rather than the children or the products or the determinations of the things around us. We become the children of God. One of those things is, and it's kind of the obvious one that we talk about quite a bit, is the children of God are known by their actions, and that first action that they have is they stop sinning, okay? Read with me real quick, 1 John chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. It says this, "No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they've been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does what is right is not God's child, nor does anyone who does not love their brother or sister." Now, some of you just went, "Uh-oh," right? I mean, come on. If you were actually listening to me, some of you actually just went, "Uh-oh, I became a Christian, I'm following Jesus, but I sinned," right? Anybody? Did anybody just go, "Uh-oh"? Anyone who has been born of God doesn't go and sin? Okay, thank you, Roger. I appreciate you connecting with me there, brother. You know, not leaving me hanging. But come on, there's that moment where we go, "Wait a second." But did you hear what it said? Does not go on sinning. It's this lifestyle of sin. It's not saying that as soon as we become a Christian, we're automatically going to be perfect, that we're never going to sin again. But we're also not going to use that as an excuse. "Well, you know, I'm just a young Christian. I'm still going to have these issues. I'm still going to have these problems. I'm never going to get better." You know, no, hang on. Here's the thing. Does your life reflect that you are living with God, in relationship with God? Are things changing in your life? Are you sinning less? Or at least when you do mess it all up, you're broken over that, messing everything up? See, here's the one reflect, the very first thing we see, the very first image that we see of what it means to be a child of God is, they don't keep on sinning. They don't live in that habitual life of sin, that system of sin. They don't keep walking down that road of sin. Not only that, but we caught it at the end of that verse. Nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. But if you flip over to chapter 4, verse 7, we find out that one of the other ways that a child of God is known is that they love each other. That they love each other. Chapter 4, verse 7 says this: "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." Perhaps the most defining characteristic of a child of God, the most defining characteristic of someone who has been born of God, is that they radically love people around them. In fact, I would say this. You can make a list of sins and say, well, a Christian doesn't do these things, and I'm going to push that to the side for a moment. Let me put this out here. You cannot be a Christian if you don't love others. Hear me loudly and clearly. You cannot be a Christian if your life is not obsessed with love. Over and over again, that's the point that Jesus made. That's the pinnacle of all of it. Paul even said that there was three things that were going to last for all of eternity: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of those three is love. Over and over again, scriptures point to our love for each other being the most important thing that we have and that we can do. And let me just say this. Jesus also said in John chapter 16 that they will know you're my disciples by going to church, right? They will know you're my disciples because you can quote all the scripture in the Bible. No, that's not what I said. Let me think again. They will know you're my disciples because you have a fish bumper sticker on the back of your car. No? They'll know you're my disciples because you shared that Facebook post and typed amen. Okay, come on. That one's funny. That was funny. All right. You just didn't want to be the only one laughing. That was a good... They'll know you're my disciples by your love for one another. That's actually what he said. The greatest witness we have to a world of hatred and violence is radical, unending, unconditional love. The greatest witness we have to the world around us is love that knows no boundaries. Love that knows no end. Anyone who's been born of God, everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. So they're known by their actions. They stop sinning. They love each other. The child of God believes in Jesus. And the child of God loves God and keeps his commands. There's a step here. Like, we get this whole idea, this whole picture. Okay, let's love and serve God. Let's love God. It's going to be great. In fact, that's kind of our mission statement here at Denton Christian Church. So we want to make disciples who love God, love people, and serve everywhere. And so we're like, all right, do you love God? Well, what does it mean to love God? It means to keep his commands, to be obedient to him. Over in chapter 5 of 1 John, 1 John 5, verse 2, I think, it says this. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. Verse 3, in fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. To love God, to have that relationship with God, to be a servant of God is to keep his commands. And it's just like a father-child relationship that we're familiar with. Right, Abby, if you're going along and you give your kids some rules, they're, as a general rule, for their own safety and well-being, right? My kids are not allowed to play with the oven, right? Why? Because I don't want them to burn the house down and hurt themselves. My children, when they go out on our second floor back deck, they're not allowed to climb on anything. Why? Because I don't want them to fall off the edge. My children are not allowed to run into the street. That is the rule. Why? Because I don't want them to get hit by a car. My children are not allowed to sword fight with knives in the kitchen. even though they do occasionally. Why? Because we want them to be safe. Our Heavenly Father has some rules for us. He's given us an outline for how He wants us to live life. And it's not because He is some old-fashioned curmudgeon prude in the sky who wants to control every piece of your life. It's because He loves you and He wants what is best for you. And He's shown you this is how we live for Him. This is how we find God's best life for us. It's found in obedience to His commands. And if you want to be a child of God, if you're going to show that you're a child of God, you're going to be somebody who is committed to being obedient to what He has said. But this is cool, though. I want you to hear this. It's not just about being a child of God, these children of God. It's not just about their actions, but they can expect some blessings. I can't talk today. Somebody else want to come up here and finish this? This would be great for me. No? All right. We'll get. They can expect certain blessings. Right there, we continued reading in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. It says this, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world." I want you to hear those words. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. I want you to hear this loudly and clearly, especially right now, because there's a lot of talk, okay? There's a lot of talk going on among people right now about what horrible shape our world is in, and they're right, okay? There's no denying that things are in bad shape right now. But you as a child of God, can overpower and overcome all of that. We can overcome the darkness in this world with the light that Jesus provides. We can overcome the despair in this world with the hope that Jesus gives. We can overcome the death and destruction in this world with the new life and resurrection that Jesus brings. We overcome the world and find victory, not because we're awesome and amazing, not because we're more special than anybody else, but because of what Jesus has done. We find victory in this world. Not only do we have the blessing of victory, but we have the blessing of intimacy. Now, that little girl that I originally found out was going to be the first one to ever call me daddy, my little Victoria, she's 11 years old. She's going into the sixth grade. I don't get to talk about her as much because it's just next month she's going to be out here in the service. She's going to be done with kids worship. That's crazy to me. So I got to talk about her a lot right now before she's out here. Because she doesn't want you to know this because she's getting to be a cool kid. She's getting to be a big kid. But there are still moments. Well, there's still those moments when I'm sitting there in my chair and she comes and crawls up in my lap, pulls her knees to her chest, snuggles her head right into my chest and says, "I love you, Daddy. Daddy." We have this beautiful picture in Scripture of being able to express that same snuggled up closeness with our Heavenly Father. We're going to switch books for just a minute. Is that okay with you guys? We're going to go to Romans chapter 8 real quick. Flip back to Romans in your Bibles. Romans chapter 8. It's round about verse 15, I think. We have this picture. Romans 8, 15. It says, "The Spirit you received," that's the Holy Spirit, indwelling presence of God in the life of His children. Actually, let's start in verse 14. "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." Again, we're talking about being God's child. "The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by Him we cry, 'Abba, Father.'" Now, the word Abba is the Aramaic word for daddy. And father there is just the Greek word for father. So it's two expressions of the same idea, two different languages. And it's this picture that we get to curl up in the lap of our Heavenly Father, because we are no longer slaves to sin, and we're not called into God's house to be His slaves either. We are called into His house and into His family to be His sons and daughters. We are called into His house to be His children and to have an intimate relationship with the Almighty God. This is a brand new idea. That Jesus brought about. This, again, if you could understand the first century context, this would be huge. When Jesus began to teach His disciples to pray, you remember that prayer He taught them? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be. That almost got Jesus stoned to death by the Jews. They wanted, check it out, John chapter 8. They wanted to stone Jesus because He referred to God as His own Father. But then He said, no, you also pray, our Father who art in heaven. And it's this idea, this picture of God as Father, not just God as King, not just God as Sovereign, not just God as Creator, but this is now God our Father, that intimate and close relationship with Him, that relationship where we can share, that relationship where we can just depend on Him for everything. We can depend on Him for emotional well-being as well as for providing what we need. It's this God, our Father, Abba, Father. This is a gut-level thing here. Like, I can't give you in a sermon everything this means, but you have to feel it. There's this moment where we can say, Daddy. And that's hard for some of us, because a lot of us carry around in life some daddy issues, where we've had a father who wasn't what he needed to be, whether he was aloof and distant or perhaps even mean and abusive. We come into this idea of God the Father, and we're painting Him with the pictures of Father that we've had in our mind. But that's not what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to wipe the slate clean and allow God to show us what being a father is. Not the other way around. Not us projecting onto Him what fatherhood's all about. So we have these blessings as the children of God. Victory and intimacy. And we become the fellow heirs with Christ. We're not going to go into all that today. But there's one more thing I wanted you to see. There's future blessings as well. If you want to flip back, I'm sorry. We're going back to 1 John, all right? I see some of you left your finger in the Bible way back there, 1 John. 1 John chapter 3 again, verses 1 and 2. These are perhaps my favorite verses in the whole book of 1 John. You look this week. Read the whole thing. See if you find some better ones in this. I don't think you will. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. God's great love has called us the children of God, and that's what we are. Exclamation point. You see the exclamation point? I love it. Okay? That's what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now that we are the children of God, what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And all who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure. We don't know everything that's going to come with Christ. That's what it says. We don't know it all yet. But we know that there's one day that we will be made like Him. We will find completion and perfection in Christ. There are future blessings that await us in Christ when He returns. Why? Because we're the children of God. As believers in Christ, we are His children. And I don't know about you, but I need to remember that sometimes. When the world seems really dark, or when my own little world seems really dark, when nothing seems to go right, there is a peace and take comfort in knowing that I have the creator of the universe that wants to have a father-son relationship with me. And that one of these days, that will be brought to completion. When we move into His house and we stay there with Him in all the glory for all eternity. And so my question for you today is twofold. Are you a child of God? Number one, first and foremost, have you received that adoption through the Holy Spirit? Have you committed your life to Him? But number two, and this is for you, all of you who would answer, yes, I'm a child of God. Do you look like it? Would people look at your life and say, oh, looks just like their dad? Look at your life and say, I can see our Heavenly Father in the life of that person. And if not, I want you to come back to this verse right here. John chapter 1, verse 12. It says, yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right, the power, the authority, the ability to become children of God. You have the power of God in you. You're like a toddler who is driving this. Oh, okay. Where are we at here? Oh, Matt. I need Matt's help here. Matt, fastest car in the world right now. I got no idea. I'm not a car guy. You don't know? Somebody? Anybody? Car guy here? All right. Adam. Fast car. Just give me a fast car. Come on. I don't even know what that is. A McLaren F1. How fast does it go? How many horsepower does it have? Oh, he has no idea. Okay, this is failing. Bill, help me out here. There we go. Over 200 miles an hour, okay? I feel like sometimes we are those people who are like a toddler thinking we're sitting in one of those little tykes cars, right, that we got to like push with our feet, that when you turn the wheels, it doesn't really work real well. It's got a little squeaky horn. Like, we sometimes are walking around life like that's all the power that we have. But I want you to know that if you are a child of God, you have God's Spirit living in you, and you are driving a McLaren F1, there is an engine under the hood that has the power, and you just need to stomp on it every once in a while. You need to recognize that God's power is in you. And you, if you would say to yourself, I don't look like a child of God, I need you to hear loudly and clearly. That's because you haven't tapped into the power of God in your life. You have not submitted to the Spirit's leading. You're not following what the Scripture has to say. You're not obeying the commands that the Father has given, but you have the power to. This is not a powerless situation. You are not driving a little tyke's car. You're driving a McLaren F1 with 1,000 horsepower. You go 200 miles an hour, all right? You have the power. Stomp on it. Because it's only then. It's when we are living as the children of God that people will see and they'll know and they'll hear and they'll say, you look just like your dad. I'd like to get to know him too. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we love you and we praise you. God, I just pray for all those in this room. I pray for those who have yet to submit their lives to you, have yet to claim the beautiful gift of grace that you have offered, the gift to become your son or your daughter. I just pray that today they will see the beauty and the blessing of being a child of God. And I also pray, Heavenly Father, right here and right now, I pray for those who would claim that name and claim that title and have that power living in them. God, would you convict each of us? Would you convict us as to where we can show the world around us more and more each day that we are your child? We love you. We praise you. It is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's sermon at Denton Christian Church. For more information about how you can become a disciple of Jesus Christ, or to subscribe to this podcast, or to watch a live stream of our services, please visit DentonChristianChurch.com. We hope that you will join us again next week.